Well, I think I'll start by just backing up just a little bit and reminding you of what we just shared in the last broadcast concerning the beast targeting the bride. And I know in that article there, Erdogan was pointed out as seeking out the bride for destruction, and Obama was too. And I'd like to say, too, that I do believe that, you know, just for their area of the world, that there's no doubt many more Antichrist entities around the world who come together with their armies to seek out the very dangerous bride, at least from Satan's point of view. I doubt these men know much about the bride, but from Satan's point of view, that the bride is very dangerous to his kingdom. And he knows what the Bible has to say about the bride. Well, they sought out the bride and persecuted other people along the way in that revelation and killed a few. And but never could find or attack the bride because the bride was hidden in Christ, as anyone who is in the secret place of the Most High is. And that was a very neat revelation, and I do believe very, very true. And but we have another revelation today I want to share with you that goes right along with that. And it's very neat how God brings together these revelations and puts them together so neatly, makes them work so fantastically. Well, anyway, this one we call The Bride Escapes to Save the Church. And this was given to us by Debbie Horton. And she reached back in, I believe it was October of 2012, to find this dream that she had and send it to us with Eve Brass notes in it. And which was back then, and I'm going to share it with you. It's a very good companion to the one we just did. Deb said, I was not in the dream, but only watched as it unfolded. There was a small village with mud brick hovels somewhere in what appeared to be the Middle East of the past. And Eve put a note here, mud hovels imply tabernacles that are earthly or of the earth. This is people who walk in the flesh, right? And the verse is Philippians 3:18-19. For I have told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. This is so true. So much of the church is, and I'm afraid that it will take judgment before much of the church will wake up and begin to seek the heavenly instead of the earthly. The only one actually doing that now, I'm pretty sure, is, well, I shouldn't say that. There are people along the path everywhere, but the major player in seeking the heavenly now is the bride. Her eyes are on the King. You know, she has a desire to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Eve said being in the Middle East could represent being lukewarm, neither in the east or the west, straddling the fence. This kind of fits with all the other revelations that we see about this people, which I believe represents the church. And Deb said, sand was everywhere, and the only road was nothing more than dirt packed down from foot and animal traffic. Genesis 22:17 says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. So, trodden under the foot of men, right? Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Amen. Like the outer court in the book of Revelation was trampled under the foot of men. And that's simply because they are the outer court. They're not close to the Lord. They're not in the secret place of the Holy of Holies. And Deb went on to say the people were all dressed in an old style clothing of ancient times, made of coarsely woven, dingy wool in various shades of off-white and gray. In other words, neither hot nor cold, nor black nor white, right? Again, brings back the lukewarm idea. Revelation 3 and 16, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And I believe that means rejected from the body of Christ. Very simply. And, you know, there are many people still sitting in churches that are rejected from the body of Christ. And it's because they do not abide in Him. They have no desire to follow Him. They're very content to follow religion and men and don't walk as disciples. To abide in Him is to be a part of the body of Christ. In the dream, I knew the people had just been conquered by some army that was on its way to them. But I also knew the victory was meaningless because the people were so downtrodden that they could offer no resistance whatsoever. Well, my thought is that God's people are downtrodden under the feet of the beast army, which includes not only the demons who oppress them, but also they are human hosts who oppress one another. And to be captured by the beast and its nature is to not be in the bride. If one is not captured by this nature, neither will they be captured by the physical armies of the beast in this world. That's just what the Bible teaches. Deb said they were extremely poor, and I would say this is probably meaning poor towards the kingdom, and surely not much of a prize to anyone. I watched them as they waited briefly for their conquerors to march in and claim them. Matthew 7, 26 and 27. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Yet, there's no defense against the power of the world if you're walking in a worldly fashion, because God turns such people over to the world for chastening until they learn to walk in the Spirit and to repent and seek heavenly things. And that's where most of the church is. They're content to just go to a country club religion and, you know, go home and feel like they've got fire insurance, you know. It won't work. It won't work because God's not going to permit it any longer. He has to do something because we're so close to the end that many are going to fall away without a chastening here and miss heaven forever. God's merciful. He loves His people. He wasn't making what He called Christians. He was making what He called disciples, which were learners and followers, is what the name means. A learner and a follower of Christ, of course. They appeared pretty numb emotionally as they stood about on either side of the road with their small homes behind them. In the dream, they were to my right. Zephaniah 3:12 says, But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. Well, we pray that when they find themselves in this position, that's what they'll do. Then, from the left, shouting and screaming in victory, came a single man instead of an army. He was speaking a foreign language, but I didn't understand. But I still knew the meaning behind the words. Well, the language is foreign to godly people. The language of the beast, the Antichrist, the leaders, the people. God said He would turn us to a pure language. And, of course, that's the renewed mind and speaking in an agreement with the Spirit, right? But the worldly are so different from God's people that it's as though they speak another language. He was telling the people that they were conquered, which they already knew, and that He was their conqueror and master now, which was also obvious since none of the peoples were physically or even emotionally in a position to challenge Him. Revelation 13 and 4 says, "And they worshiped the dragon because He gave His authority unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to war with Him?" And they, in other words, they didn't believe they could war against the beast. Of course, you know, that's not the bride. The bride wars quite effectively against the beast because the bride knows her power, her authority in Christ. She knows she has the ear of the King of Kings, and so on. And Eve said that they had not put on the full armor of God and were captured. Yeah, Ephesians 6 and 13. "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Yeah, be able to stand your ground. Well, aside from the spiritual part of this captivity, is the physical part of this beast nation which has brought them into captivity. And there may be even more manifestations of this if martial law or, quote, state of emergency, unquote, is declared and dictatorship is imposed. God will do as He sees need to bring His people to repentance. All of the things that are happening in the tribulation is to maximize the number of people who come to God and stick with God and become true disciples. That's what tribulation is all about. Think about the word. It's not something that speaks of the world. It's something that speaks of the church. He's trying. He's testing. He's making them stronger, right? The conquering man was larger than any of the villagers, and extremely muscular, but not a giant by any means. And he says a corporate conquering beast. And I would say an illusion of the previous dream about this same kind of captivity by very large Erdogan and a very large Obama, right, in the previous dream. So they're kind of connected. He was wearing a helmet that he had opened and thrown back over his head. Obviously not really worried about what anybody can do to him, right? A helmet is to protect your head. And a flashy cape. Obviously a big ego. Although I can't remember the color. He was wielding a large, heavy, two-edged sword, waving it all around and threatening the people with it like a wild man from his emotional high. However, other than the cape and helmet, he was completely naked. All right. I believe this represents flesh being openly seen, a man of sin. And obviously, people of spiritual maturity look on something like this with a little bit of disgust, even though we don't judge the lost. we understand what they're doing is total flesh, right? My eyes were drawn to a close-up of his bulging arm, I think, muscles, and I noticed that, oddly, his skin had a slight but very definite blue color. I believe blue is the color of the Democratic Party. So this may give you a hint here. Also, the skin looked a little unreal, almost like a cross between some kind of downy-coated vinyl and plastic. But I knew it was skin. Well, you know, plastic and vinyl is inhuman by nature, and it is beastly, right? Deb said, this man represents the naked aggression of the blue blood ruling elite, which will no longer be hidden. Yep, when they come into power, they're pretty open about it. I'm guessing they're tired of hiding. They have consolidated themselves into a superpower, which is why the skin seemed artificial. This superpower is a man-made construct. He said blood looks blue under the veins because it is depleted of oxygen or air. In other words, there is no spirit of life there. Also, venous blood is full of waste products and impurities from the body's cells. So blue blood is not necessarily a good thing, right? The only colors that stood out in this dream were the blue of the man's skin and the tan of the sand. As the man walked into the village, the people quickly backed several steps away from him in unison, with their speed making most of them step or slide out of one or both of their sandals. Well, that's cool. Which they left closer to the road. All of the sandals were exactly the same except for one. Well, that's true about the world, right? And the worldly church, too. You're either for me or you're against me, right? So, the sandals looked like modern-day flip-flops. And she puts a note here, people who flip-flop in their walk with the Lord, people who are not firmly grounded in their walk. They were made out of leather, with leather thong straps. In other words, their beastly, fleshly nature is still clinging to their walk. You know, leather means the hide of a beast, right? The one that was different immediately drew the attention of the conqueror. And he bellowed in that foreign language for someone to bring it to him. But the people were frozen and nobody moved. Finally, in frustration, but secretly pleased at the terror of the people, he stomped over to the sandal and picked it up himself. This sandal also had a leather sole, but instead of straps, it had a post that would need to be gripped by the big toe and second toe. The post was either wood or leather. And she said, in real life, there is such a sandal called a toe knob sandal. It comes from ancient India, which was a part of the Persian Empire, and today Persia is Iran. The reason the sandal was so open was to allow the wearer to shake out the sand. The toe knob frequently would be ornamented by the rich upper class with jewels, but the sandal in the dream was absolutely plain. Well, what came to me was the Persian sandal of royalty is for Esther, the bride who was the queen of the Persian Empire, and received authority from the King of Kings over the people of the beast, typified by Haman and his people. It's plain in this case because the bride is modest and would bring no attention to herself but to God. Meaning the reason the sandal is plain is because it's as a modest person. Not like the big man with the flashy cape, right? In the dream, I knew the sandal belonged to a young woman. But I also knew that when everyone backed away, leaving their sandals, she kept on going and fled out of the reach of the conqueror. Well, this is a good idea. You don't want to be captured by the beast, and the bride has authority to not be captured by the beast. This woman represents the bride who fled the dragon in the midst of the woman of Revelation 12. Although the church is going into captivity, the bride is hidden in the midst of her, and she is not going into captivity. She retains her authority in Christ. Still, the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, and his army briefly captured Israel and Judah in their apostasy, but Jerusalem, the bride, escaped and brought his downfall by their calling out to God and brought the freedom of the rest of the people of God. So I'm drawing these types here in shadows so we can see what's the rest of the story around this, so we can know what's really going to happen here, and of course, how we can be in the bride. And this is like Esther, who interceded to the King of Kings and received authority over the beast Haman and his body to conquer them and to save the church of that time. And the northern army in Joel chapter 2 is the same story. You know, they came up against the bride and they were conquered, and all their gain was lost, right? Including the people of God who they had captured. They were lost. Moses was the first to escape the dragon of Egypt, because Egypt is called a dragon in the scriptures. And of course, Pharaoh was leading. He then brought about the deliverance of the people through judgments of God, like the Red Sea. David escaped Saul, who was killed, and David became king, judging the Edomites and the Philistines. See, there are many types and shadows of this in the scriptures. Eve here quoted Revelation 12, 6 through 17. I'll read it and put a few thoughts of my own in there. The woman fled into the wilderness. Now let me say, this is the people that would follow, say, Moses into the wilderness. This time it's the man-child in Revelation 12. They're following into the wilderness. Of course, the Lord himself is the one that's in the son of David, who is also a type of the man-child. And he is the one that has said in Ezekiel 34 that he himself is going to shepherd his sheep. And David would be his general, basically. Revelation 12, 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. And I want to say that inside the woman, of course, is the bride. Among the people of God is the bride, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Now that's the first 3.5 years. They're going into the wilderness. Israel, in parallel to this, went into the wilderness tribulation when Pharaoh and his army were taken out at the Red Sea. So if we're going to complete the type, there's got to be some kind of judgment against the beast who's exercising authority over the people of God. There's got to be. All the types and shadows, the parallels, point to this. And this is the first 3.5 years. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman 2 wings of the great eagle. Oh, she's going to escape, right? When he was cast down, the woman that brought forth the man-child, who was to feed her and teach her in the wilderness, but the the bride was to escape, the people of God were to escape too, because they're being trained up as the church by the man-child, like Jesus trained up the early church, like Moses trained up the earliest church, called out ones. I call it a church, but. And there was given to the woman two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place. She obviously didn't have any problem with Pharaoh's army anymore. They all went down in the Red Sea, right? And where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, the first 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. In other words, she escaped the serpent, the dragon, right? Escaped. Some people think that's not going to happen. They'll hold fast the church in the tribulation and persecute and kill and so on and so forth. There is a time for that. We'll talk about that. But this is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And notice the war against the saints doesn't come until Revelation 13 and the second 3.5 years. So the persecution before the tribulation is to drive the woman into the wilderness. All right? We're pre-trib now, pre-tribulation right now. I'm not talking about any rapture or anything. We're pre-tribulation right now, and I believe we're going to see something that's going to cause the woman to want to go into the wilderness. They're going to see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. Right? Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, kind of like this man, you know, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And Eve said, notice in Revelation 12, 13, and 14, how in verse 17, after the woman was given the wings of the great eagle, the dragon went and stood on the sand of the sea to make war on the rest of her seed. And, of course, it didn't happen there because that's right before chapter 13. Okay? And, by the way, there was a little bit of a change of government there between Revelation 12 and Revelation 13. Some people think these two overlap and they're the same government, but obviously when you look at it, you know that's not true. And she said that this dragon standing on the sea reminded her of the packed down sand in the village in this dream that the conqueror was stomping around on and terrorizing the people. Well, you notice that after the tribulation begins, the seven-headed, ten-horned dragon is not able to conquer the woman. They're carried away by the overcoming evil eagle, right? But the second 3.5 years is under the seven-headed, ten-horned beast, not the dragon, but the beast. The seven crowns are on the heads of the dragon, the first 3.5 years, while the ten crowns are on the horns of the beast, proving a separate 3.5 year period. This is total change of government here in the midst of the covenant, right? This is a change of the UN-style government to the ten kings of the continental divisions of the earth that the Bible speaks about. That's where the great persecution. Now, Jacob is small at this time, and how shall he stand? And obviously the man-child and the bride are going to be greatly used to raise up these people to be able to stand. Right now, at this point in time, they've got no knowledge of faith, they've got no knowledge of power, no knowledge of authority, no knowledge of the Passover, no knowledge that we are delivered from the curse, no knowledge of the things that we need to know to be able to stand in faith against the devil. Remember, in the book of Esther, how that Esther and Mordecai sent out a message to the people to stand for their lives against the beast attack. Stand for their lives. The church don't know how to do that. This is evidently a teaching that's gone forth from the man, child, and the bride, that they have authority to do this. They gave the authority to them to do this, to stand for their lives, to believe they're not under the curse. You know, if a person doesn't believe it, do they receive it? No. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. So the faith of most of the church has to be changed. They don't know who they are. They don't know they have authority. They've been taught to not believe that they've got authority over sickness, the curse, the devil, the world. They've been taught that. So all this has to change, or a lot more people are going to die. The man then flew into a rage as he realized that he hadn't captured the young woman. Well, that's just as in the last dream, right? Except this dream was long before. This was back in 2012. If the young woman would have been captured by the beast, now listen to this, it's important you understand this. If the woman had been captured by the beast, its nature, its demons, and human vessels, she would no longer be in the bride. We've watched people fall into faction and get captured by the beast. They have no conscience of the word anymore. They brag and boast about things that they have no authority anymore. They've got no faith anymore. They go back to doing things the same way they did in the world. They're victims. They made themselves victims. They were devoured by the dragon. Well, for goodness sake, what is it to be devoured? You know, the dragon sought to devour the man-child and failed, and the bride too, I'm quite sure, because that's all the types we can see. But it devours a lot of people. It means to be inside the body of the dragon and not inside the body of Christ. Devoured, consumed, right? So if she got captured by the beast, that proves she's not the bride. And so it is with those who have been tested but sided with their demons instead of God. A lot of people do that. They defend their demons. They don't, when the word of God is spoken, they don't humble themselves to it and confess their sin. The man howled in anger because all he had was her sandal. And that was the end of that dream. And Deb said, I asked for a word for myself and received Song of Solomon 6 and 12 through 7 and 1. Before I was aware, my soul set me among the chariots of my princely people. Deb said, when I read on, the next verses are 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. Shulamite means perfect or complete. She is the bride. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. In other words, bride, be a witness to the woman church of what the Lord desires us to look like, right? They need an example. Why will you look upon the Shulamite as upon the dance of the Mahanaim? That's two companies. I'm not going to go into that right now, though. 7 and 1 says, how beautiful are thy feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. There's those sandals again. Eve said, I believe this is the father confirming this dream for Deb. It certainly is. How many verses or short texts like that would you find the word sandals in, right? And Eve said, in the book of Ruth, a person would take off their shoe to seal a contract. In Ruth 4 and 7, it says, now this was the custom in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning exchanging to confirm all things. A man drew off his shoe and he gave it to his neighbor. And this was the manner of attestation in Israel. And this is what Boaz had to do to claim his near kinsman rights to Ruth in order to marry her. Yeah. Deb said, I think in the dream, those people who stepped out of their sandals were saying that they were no longer going to flip-flop in their walk. Well, I guess getting captured by the beast, and I believe that that's something that's about to happen. Being captured by the beast, especially if martial law is declared, no rights, due process, no nothing, you know. And, of course, we know that this administration has no love for Christians whatsoever, so you can guess where all that's going. The fear of God will be quickly multiplied. So they may, you know, decide to be disciples of Christ right there. And that they were giving up their right to the flesh. Well, amen. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those of the people who walked too late to make a commitment to the Lord are going into the tribulation. But the young woman, the bride, was sanctified in time so that she was able to escape the beast. Right? Like Esther and the Shulamite brides are safe in the king's house and chosen to bring freedom to their people. This is a good parallel with that, you know. Deb said her sandal was the only one the conqueror was really interested in, but he fails to capture her. Well, that was just like in the last dream where the beast targets the bride, right? We've added, made some additions there to that text, by the way, if you want to go back and read it on the site, The Beast Targets the Bride. Erdogan has aspirations to be in God, not just a dictator. And Deb sent some very good articles about that, him proclaiming himself God, you know. So that's very interesting. Deb said the toe knob sandal had a leather sole, but instead of clinging to her feet with straps like the other sandals would have, she had to grip the sandal so that that put her in control of her flesh. Yeah. And Eve said the sandal that she took with her could represent Christ's covenant with the bride, while the one left on the earth could represent a simultaneous beast covenant with those who are earthly. Yeah. I then went into another dream that was set in the present, and it explained some of this dream, but I couldn't recall any of it. And, well, that was interesting because she said this back in 2012, but here comes Eve's dream, which is in the present, you know. And she said, as I prayed, I realized that, this is when she prayed here recently, as I prayed, I realized that the dream Eve received, the beast targets the bride, was to give the modern day explanation of this dream, and I received it. Okay? Eve said, I asked Father for a word this morning at work, and received this one, which is good encouragement for those in captivity in both of our dreams. Isaiah 41:8. Through 14, it says, but thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. The Lord wants to comfort His people. He wants them to be able to have faith in the midst of this severe testing that they're going through. And verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be put to shame and confounded. They that strive with thee shall be as nothing and shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. Do you know what? Just thinking about that part, it's like when they went into the wilderness and the wings of the eagle lifted them up and saved them from the dragon. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Well, this is true. I mean, Jesus in the 3.5-year ministry taught, raised up, gave faith to, gave healing to, gave deliverance to, provision to the woman in his wilderness. You know, when he went out into the desert, some places where that word desert is, it's actually the same word for wilderness. No, he, like Moses, took the people into the wilderness and saw the provision of God, and like the fishes and the loaves, and so on and so forth. People began to receive faith. The disciples themselves received more faith when they saw Jesus using them to bring to pass these miracles, right? So, this paints a different picture than a lot of people's picture of what's going to happen in the tribulation period, especially the first 3.5 years. Even though the Roman government was in control, the people in the wilderness listening to Jesus were not necessarily being persecuted day by day with that. You know, they were there to get an education, and God was going to see to it that they got it. So when do we expect a deliverance of the bride and the church from the beast dragon so that they can go into the wilderness, the tribulation? Well, Purim was the celebration of the beast conquering before, in other words, the conquering of the beast, before Mordecai was anointed as a type of the man-child. And Purim is in spring. And Passover and Exodus happened before they followed Moses into the wilderness for that first 3.5 years representatively, right? Which was in spring. Purim and Passover were both in spring. The Exodus was like, I think, 7 days after the Passover in spring. However, we were told this spiritual spring would be in the fall. And it was confirmed by many miracles of blossoms in the fall, as we said, and came to pass. Praise God. And this is something curious that I'm going to do a little more research on, but Rabbi Glazerson, some of you probably recognize his name, who is a Bible code expert, found Bible codes pointing to 5776, which is from September of 2015 through, I believe, October of 2016. And he said in September 23rd and 24th of 2016, within that 5776 year, was a time for the coming of the Messiah. That's what he says he found in the codes, right? And, of course, they're looking for one thing, but we know something else. We know that he's going to come in the body of the Son of David again as the corporate body of the man-child in order to lead the woman through the wilderness. That's not what they're expecting, but they never expected the right thing, the Jews nor the church, right? And he said that it was at the time of planet X, or Nibiru. And he also said an asteroid was coming before him. And I have no doubt that it will be with earthquake and tsunami on the East Coast. But remember what the Lord said in Isaiah 62:11, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the ends of the earth, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, listen, his reward is with him. I remember a vision someone had about the Lord coming with his his glorified saints in white clouds. And they say, I thought you were, your reward was with you. He says, this is my reward. He was pointing out his sanctified ones coming with him. Remember, the man-child's caught up to the throne, but now he has a job to do. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Recompense, like this asteroid was coming before the Lord, just ahead of the Lord. Interesting. You know what? A great revival is going to come from this. The Lord's going to see to it. He's going to pour out his grace upon his people. There's no doubt in my mind, folks, that there is going to be great trouble because this could bring millions of people to their death. A tsunami like that, or maybe even four tsunamis that we know of, you know. One in the Gulf, two coming up the East Coast, and one on the West Coast, or maybe more on the West Coast. I don't know. But tsunamis are bad things. You know, they're rough. And so are the earthquakes that we're talking about. Our major earthquakes could kill lots and lots of people. So it's not as though escaping the beast is the only thing people need to escape. But his recompense is going to be before him. And this remains to be seen, but these codes are in the fall. And that's what the Lord told us. It would be the spring, a spiritual spring in the fall. Bill Steenland had a dream that showed the way to climb to the position of the bride atop Mount Zion would be blocked after September 22nd, which is just the day before the Lord is coming in his man-child and bringing judgment. So that makes absolute sense. I'm going to study it more so I can present it more exactly. So this means whoever is in the bride will be sealed at that time, because no one else could approach the top of Mount Zion, which is the symbol of the bride coming into her position, to the throne room, right? To the temple of God. We're going to speak more on this later, but it's time for all to repent and climb Mount Zion to the throne of God. And the man-child David, too. Meaning, overcome the gravitational pull of the worldly and seek the heavenly place in Christ. Right? Climbing a mountain is overcoming gravity, is it not? It's overcoming the laws of the world, you know, by the heavenly nature. We don't have any time to continue to follow our pet demons and... You say, well, what if this is just another delay because Jacob is small? How shall he stand? Well, would you continue to procrastinate what you should do right now? If you run after the Lord and there is a delay, you'll be that much further ahead, right? If you continue to delay discipleship, you'll have no time to overcome and be purified. Some people have already waited too late, I'm sure. And you must seek this by faith. So just remember that. And also, after all of the warnings and signs that we've had along the way through the grace of God, if any stubborn person says to himself that it won't happen because it hadn't come in their time, my goodness, think about Noah, how long he preached it. So, I believe God will righteously reject people like this. These are stubborn people. They don't want to believe. I believe He'll righteously reject them from the bride and possibly even from His body entirely. There has to be repentance. Remember to seek Him by faith. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the good news that He took away your sin and He delivered you from the power of darkness. The devil has no authority over you. And act on your faith. If you say you believe something, act on it. What would you do if you believed you were saved, healed, and delivered? How would you act? What would you say? If you don't confess Him before men, He won't confess you before the Father. The church needs to find faith and power from God because they really take the Word of God seriously. And also, you must confess your sins so that you may be cleansed. Don't defend your demons. And after you confess your sin, confess your salvation from all sin. And above all, forgive everyone from the heart in order to be forgiven. Or else you're just wasting your time, right? Well, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name, please give impetus to your word here. Please impress everyone to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Lord, we are definitely running out of time, whether this code is correct or not. We are definitely running out of time. We see that Obama's probably going to try to do something before the election in order to keep his power. But we also know what you promised to do to save at the Red Sea with the tsunami. And Father, we just ask you to have mercy upon your people and save your people from the beast. We ask you to put faith in your people that you have already dealt with their sin, but they have to deal with it in true repentance and confession and humility. So we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, grant us all grace to see what you would have us to be and have us to do. And give us a conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit. Help us. Give us the gifts of faith, Father, to confess you before men, Lord, and to believe we are and we have what you said. And that we, even above all that, too, we have your protection, your deliverance from the curse. Jesus became accursed for us. And that was so we could have Abraham's blessings. We thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father.